Welcome to Run With It, Canada's running fitness and health program. On this month's episode, we have Train Like a Pro segment, so stay tuned for that. But first, let's go to my conversation with Ryan Brown on breast health advice. Check this out. Joining me today is Ryan Brown. He's an advocate and educator on breast health. Ryan is here to talk about his motivation for raising awareness for breast health issues and some misconceptions. Welcome, Ryan.
Oh, hey, thanks for inviting me here.
Yes, and Janine, Vice, and Alicia.
Yes.
Welcome, everyone. Yes. So, Ryan, I'd like to start with you. What was your inspiration behind getting involved in breast health?
It kind of found me. I was looking for a light that could go through muscle. So I've been doing massage now for about 30 years. And I couldn't find a light that would go through muscle to prove that I was doing something different. My concept was, you know, when you put like a flashlight behind your thumb, you can kind of see through it. I was like, oh, maybe if I can put like a light behind your bicep, massage your bicep. And then after we do like another light test, and theoretically was thinking that the light would come through more, but all the manufacturers around the world couldn't produce a light that would go through muscle. So they said we can go through breasts. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll try that. And then, so here we are. Yeah, pretty much. I never had the intentions of working on breasts. It just kind of found me.
It found you. Was there a pivotal moment though that you thought, I want to help, you know, with breast cancer and, you know, raising breast health awareness?
Yeah, like I see that the cancer rates are getting worse, you know, and so when I saw that I was getting like a different imaging, I thought right away that maybe I can use this practice in mammograms. So we actually had a chance to produce some results with a mammogram too. So now we're working with doctors and producing the next phase of our clinical trial right now.
That's wonderful. And what are some misconceptions?
I think the biggest misconception is that that massaging your breasts can give you breast cancer or spread breast cancer if you already have it. So I think a lot of women don't massage their breasts because they think if they have it, they don't want to massage their breasts because they might spread it and make it worse. But that is 100% false. You cannot spread breast cancer by massaging your breasts.
And so with this in mind, like for testimonial, you have Janine here, who you've been working with over 7 years. Is that correct?
7 years, yeah.
Yeah, honestly, it's been amazing. I have loved every single second of it. He is one of the best. I haven't met someone that could do what he does. It's very uplifting. It's very empowering. Honestly, I feel like my breasts aren't even there half the time because of how circulated and how, I guess, happy they are.
So, I've been working with Jean for about 7 years now, and over the last 7 years, her bust went up just about 6 inches in total altogether, a couple cup sizes. So it does take time, and the work that I do is not permanent. You have to keep coming back. If you're coming to me for breast size differences, but I try to keep people in check when I do talk to people for the first time when they come for a session. My intentions were never to, how can I make breasts bigger? That's never what I was. I never thought, like, how can I make boobs bigger? Never crossed my mind. It's just like the light test and the muscle, and then now I'm working with breasts, and then it's like a side effect, I call it. It doesn't work for everybody either. Not everybody gets like larger sizes. Usually everybody gets like a little bit of size differences, but it's like one in 10 will get like really, really noticeable size differences. It's not exact, but it's about one in 10 that you can really see a significant difference. But for me, I just tell my clients the light test and seeing that light coming through the breast tissue more in our light test, that's all I care about. And then once the light is fully like illuminated in your breast, just like a salt lamp, that's about as much side effects as you're going to get anyway, because that means your breast is fully circulating and there's no more room for side effects, no more room for size differences. So I just tell people, I tell my clients, once they get to my goal, you can get to your goal if you're coming to me for size.
Yes, and advice. Some feedback.
So I actually came because she won an actual treatment plan with Ryan. And then I was like, I was researching and looking up more about it because I do energy work myself as well. So when I was looking it up and finding out, looking on his website that he was looking for people for the trial to actually figure out for his actual case study. And so, and that sounded interesting to me because I actually have breast cancer that runs in my family. So I was like, okay, well, this could be like a good way to be able to detect the cancer if there is any beforehand, or to see how healthy I am and stuff. And going through the process, when we first did the light test before the actual treatment, there was little darker spots, and I had tender spots on the spots. And then afterwards, he did the light test again, which actually came out clearer, like in actual photos. And in what I've seen so far, even on his websites, he has it where they do the light test and where the breast tissue is literally almost dark. Like you can't see anything. Like, so I was like, I was really curious about this. And then the light test afterwards, only 15 minutes into getting the treatment, it's like it lights up. Like all of a sudden it just clears up that.
David Suzuki that said you can tell a lot by an environment, by the women's breast tissues in the communities. You can tell a lot how toxic the actual environment is where the woman's living by their breast tissues. I think it was David Suzuki. Hey Dave. I don't know.
So Alicia, can you share your feedback?
Sure. Yeah. Like Vice said, we started working together because I had won a giveaway and I didn't exactly know what I was walking into, but then as soon as I started to learn about what Ryan does, I was like, oh, this is very, very interesting. And actually after the first session that we did, I saw some like crazy, crazy differences. I was in a bit of a dark place when I came into that first session that we had, and I actually ended up leaving not only like feeling a lot lighter mentally, emotionally, well actually when I left I was very emotional, so I think it was leaving my body. but then after, like, I just walked around feeling lighter. And then when I would come in again, we would do another session, and I left feeling lighter again. And I was like, this is crazy. So, again, the breast different size also was a big change. I think it was, like, 1.5 inches, 2 inches or something.
Yeah, it was like that. Altogether, I think you've done 5 sessions, but we only did 15, 20 minutes each time.
Yeah.
So you're about... Altogether, you've done about an hour and a half. So,
exactly.
Yeah, usually you only get like an inch or two difference.
Yeah, So yeah, big changes happen for me. So really good feedback. I think what you're doing is amazing, and I think more people need to know about it.
And the light in your breasts.
And the light as well. Yeah, just seeing like how dark and uncirculated my breast tissue was compared to like the last picture that you took was a big difference. So yeah. I'm very thankful.
Wonderful.
Thanks so much for your feedback, guys. Thank you, guys.
Yes.
Thanks. Yeah. So I guess in summary between all of them, Janine's experience, significant size differences over like 7 years, and the girls have experienced some size differences, a little bit of size differences, I should say, but it's only been like a very short period of time, but they did see like the light coming through in their light test more. And that's really all I'm here for. That's my whole intention, is just to create circulation and awareness. And I'm hoping that once our clinical trial is done, we're on the second phase now, that we can get my system into the medical system so women can get a clear image on the ultrasound or the mammogram. Because it's only about 12 to 15% of women in North America have to come back because their imaging wasn't very clear in the mammogram or the ultrasound. So they had to go back for another one, and they usually have to wait 3 to 6 months to go back. So 12-15% of the women in North America doesn't sound like much, but it's like about 5 million women per year have to go back for another test. And we're hoping that the majority of women will just get the service done in preparation so they don't take the risk of having to come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it actually makes the breasts that much brighter. So, like, I feel for myself, if I was to be going in and getting imaging done, before the breast massages and stuff, it would have been a lot darker is what he's describing there, 1000%. Yes. Like just by seeing the pictures myself, so like getting the mammogram after you get the treatment would be huge, huge, huge to be able to see deeper in the tissues. And like just even seeing it for myself, just by taking a picture after and seeing it, it's I think it would make a huge difference.
Yeah, and it's not just detecting breast cancer. There's like over 50 different types of breast cancers, and there's different types of breast diseases. So it's like early detection, even if there's like a little bit of percent chance that I can help someone detect something earlier, it's worth it. Even if it just helps one person for me.
Right? Yeah, no, it's wonderful. You see the before and after.
Yeah.
And that's huge. So tell us more about your school.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I've been running a school since 2017 for muscles mostly. So I still do that. And then I just evolved into my school's now for breasts too. But I've only certified two doctors so far. It's very hard to get in, and I'm very picky about who I bring on for that. I'm not just bringing on anybody. But yeah, so I have like the muscle side of school, and it's kind of like a prerequisite if you really want to go on to advance into the women's chest certifications. But so got that online now and getting more people interested in that. And yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's like a process to everything, and it's raising, getting rid of the taboo and raising breast health awareness, what you're doing. And it's the study that's important too. And then I understand you also have plans for a documentary as well.
Oh, so thanks. Yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations. I know.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. I got a lot on the go. Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully get that out. She's been a part of the documentary quite a bit. And yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we have a documentary finished, and we have like hundreds of other like little webisodes we filmed for social media, over 500 little webisodes. We also put together like the best of the best and put it on like a documentary style, and that's ready to go. We're just kind of shopping around for like a medium, like say Netflix or I don't know, somebody that could maybe take it on. But I'm also just fine putting it on it independently too, because it is my clients. You know, I feel like I have to be kind of protective of their information. So I'm kind of hesitant to take on a contract with anybody too, but I'm open to it. But I'm also, it's gotta be very strict, you know, so.
Yes, and I'm thinking like with family that has a, you know, a history of breast cancer, it's even more important always, but just checking your family history and then doing what we can. The more information we know, the more we are aware to help. Mm-hmm. And that's correct. And here you are, the three of you are, you know, giving your feedback and testimonials. So one word, how do you feel right now going through this for each of you? Vice, what's one word that you feel about? Is it empowerment? Is it health? What is one thing that goes through your mind? One word.
Relief. Mm. And the reason why would be because of the fact of it gives you more awareness of what's actually happening in your body. You physically get to see it even in a picture right there, even before you have to go for mammogram, because I'm supposed to be going for one in like the next couple of months as well. And so I'm like, this just makes it so much more at ease for myself. Mm-hmm. So I would say it definitely is a sign of relief.
Great, thank you.
I really like that one. honestly, I've said this word so many times, but the word that just keeps coming to mind is like lighter. Just like going into the sessions feeling dark and heavy and then coming out lighter. So yeah, that's all I can say.
Wonderful. I would say mine would be enlightenment. It's kind of like how the lamp and how it needs to light up and everything. And like she was saying, like there's a lighter feeling. There's definitely a feeling of relief. I couldn't imagine having any sort of breast cancer in my family and like not being able to know prior to, like if you hadn't gotten the massages done, the tension and everything that you would have been building up would have been intense. So good on you, girl. But no, definitely enlightenment.
Enlightenment.
Yeah.
Good. Well, thanks. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you for the feedback.
What's your one word?
Just helping others. I guess that's two words, sorry.
Helping.
Helping.
There you go.
I don't know, I just work here.
I just work here.
No, but is there an age where you should be getting these mammograms or knowing about breast health? Like, or is there a particular age?
Yeah, great question. I know in Canada, they usually don't recommend doing mammograms until after you're 50 is mandatory. But I think if I had it my way, I would say everybody should get tested, ultrasound or mammogram, at a very young as you can go, like say 19. And if you do have dense breasts, then you should definitely be put on some kind of program of some type at a younger age, because the density inside the breast tissues is what covers up the imaging and you can't see what's going on inside. Mm. So I think it's even more important that you have education and awareness. If you're diagnosed with dense breasts at a very young age, you should take it very seriously, because it's killing 1 in 8 women right now, just in Canada, right? It's pretty serious. It's like the second killer to women right now.
Thinking like lifestyle changes too, your diet and also losing weight. So your breasts become more dense. And that's another thing, going for a mammogram, it's like, how do you...
Yeah, the density can't really change. It's genetic. You can't really change the density. If you are diagnosed with dense breasts, you can't change that.
Good.
You can just manage it and make it lighter. But yeah, it's something that I'm hoping to get more awareness out there. So I really appreciate you guys coming on board and backing me up, because we need more women to be okay with just massaging their boobs and checking out to see if there's anything wrong with it. It shouldn't be demonized or, it shouldn't be tabooed or stigmatized at all. It's just, it's very important that women do self-care as much as possible, at least once a month I recommend. It's usually what doctors will recommend, like once a month, do a self-check in the shower. It only takes like 30 seconds. I think even just 30 seconds every day in the shower, just put the soap on your breasts a little bit. Just even by putting the soap on your breasts a little bit longer, 30 seconds a day, I think would make a long, very good impact, or how do you say, a very good positive outcome. Because it's only 30 seconds, you think of it. But if that's like a month, that's like roughly 10 minutes a month. And
that's better than zero.
Yeah, these girls are getting results in 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to inspire women just to do 30 seconds a day. It adds up.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, what's next for you?
What's next?
Yes.
Oh,
continue.
I want to help people. That's my in the biggest way possible. So I'm trying to get my study and my practice into the medical system, so then I can go and educate other doctors and nurses on the importance of doing massage as prevention, also to do the service in my practice right before an ultrasound or a mammogram. And that's like where I'm a pioneer of that. Like, I'm not a pioneer of breast massage. I'm not a pioneer of, putting a light under someone's breast, even. That's all been done before. But I am the pioneer of taking a breast and then making it lighter, going from dark to light. And so that's all I care about is the circulation.
Thank you. If people want to get a hold of you, where can they go? Reach out to you?
They can reach out to the site. I got cantera.com. That's okay. cantera.com. And yeah, that's basically...
Thank you.
Hey,
thank you.
Oh,
yes, thanks for...
Thank you for having us. Joining me today on the Train Like a Pro segment is a very special guest, J.R. LaRose. J.R. is here to talk about his in-demand motivational speaker career, his accomplished football background, and his upcoming award. So I am so excited to have you with me today on the program, J.R., and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to this.
And how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Actually, I just got home this morning. Got landed back in Vancouver this morning. I was coaching in Saskatchewan. I coach up at Cumberland House Cree Nation, and so we just had our first playoff game, and we ended up losing. So it was a tough day yesterday, but I tell the kids all the time, there's tons of lessons that we can learn in our losses, wins and losses. And so we'll be back bigger and stronger, faster next year.
Yes, and JR, for your award-winning football career, you are coaching and you love it, right? You have that passion for coaching, teaching.
I think it's for me, it's I love when these kids are able to just like for the football team is a second year program that I'm coaching, and I've been coaching for years at other teams, but for this one in particular, it's an Indigenous football team that just started 2 years ago, and to see how far they've come is so special to be a part of that, to be part of that growth. But the biggest thing is just being consistent in these kids' lives, consistently showing up where there's a lot of inconsistency, and so this year I was able to coach with my son as well. He was there helping me, my youngest son, his name's Losey. So yeah, I love being around youth kids, mentoring and coaching.
Well, you are a role model for sure. And I love your quote, "You must have a dream and a goal, then a choice to make it happen." And you do it. You practice what you preach, if I may say. You are, I understand, 4-time winner of the Jamie Terrace Award of Community Service. And nominated 4 times for the CFL's Tom Pate, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Tom Pate. Yeah, Tom Pate.
Outstanding sportsmanship. So on the field and off the field, like I said, you're a role model to many. And I am just so excited. And you are now getting another award. Can you tell our viewers and listener about this champion award?
It's when I was informed that I was winning it a few weeks ago, it's such an honor to be recognized for the work. I mean, I've been doing this work for ever since I, retired from football, working in Indigenous communities. I was doing it even while I was playing football, but that was something that was full time. So I think just to be recognized for the work that I've done with these communities. I don't do the work for the recognition, but it's special to be recognized for the work that you do. And so for me, I look at it like this. The reason why I love the type of work that I do is, I'm now the man that I needed when I was a kid, and I can show up for these kids and be that person for them. And this is just it's just a special achievement, to become from the work that I'm doing with such amazing youth.
And congratulations again. And I would, with the Grey Cup being in Vancouver, I mean, that is so exciting. And I mean, tell us how excited you are.
It's of course. I mean, we won the Grey Cup. I was part of the Grey Cup winning team in 2011, with the BC Lions. And so the fact that it's home again this year, hopefully, BC will be back in it, and having the opportunity to win it. Because I know how special that was to win it. It was 56,000 fans when we had won in 2011. To win it at home was something special. It's something that you remember for the rest of your life. So I'm looking forward to being part of the festivities this time. As a player, you're not really able to partake in the festivities because you're focusing on the game. But now I'm retired. I'm a player. I get to enjoy all the festivities that the Grey Cup has to offer.
Yes, and JR, you retired in 2014, is that correct?
2015. Yeah,
2015.
2014 was my last season. Yeah.
Last season. And tell us about your work as an in-demand motivational speaker. I mean, is it like about 400 presentations? Like you're always on the road. So how, like tell us how does it make you feel giving motivational talks to people who they need it, but it is also as a refresher to make them say, "I can do this." And as I keep saying, you're a role model. So tell us about your career.
Well, I think it's I started really full time in 2015, when I retired from football. But the messaging is this. It's the tagline to my a lot of my presentations is don't allow your situation to become your excuse in life. And I think many of us, regardless of your background, where you come from, how you were raised, life slaps every single one of us in the face. And for me, it's about teaching people tools on how to pick yourself up and not have that victim mentality. Because the biggest thing, one thing that I realized even at a young age, is when I would make an excuse or kind of for whatever. If simple as just say I got a flat tire, and now instead of having to take a cab, I'm just like, oh well, that's an excuse. Or I think there's so many things that happen in our life that we can now used as almost as a crutch. And for me, it's being able to overcome that and find solutions rather than being a victim. Because the moment we remain a victim, or the moment we quit on things, it now is allowing us to quit on other things when life gets hard on us. And so for me, that quote, don't allow your situation to become your excuses, is something that I apply daily. But my messaging is also about hope. You know, I talk a lot about abuse, you know, family that struggled with addictions. I was a kid that was abused. And so I think for a lot of it is removing the stigma around seeking help. And that's a big thing, especially for men, is, you know, when they go to seek help, it's almost seen as a weakness. And I think there's more strength in being able to show vulnerability. And so that's a lot of my messaging as well.
Yes. And, you know, and then you were injured and you pushed through that. So everything you've gone through has been challenges and obstacles. So you've been injured and you got right back at it. And you know, so can you tell us a little bit about pushing through the injuries?
Yeah, I've been injured. I snapped my leg in half in 2008 when I was playing with Edmonton against Winnipeg. And then I was told I had potentially a career-ending injury the way I did it, because I was a skilled position. I played free safety at the time. And so I was out a year and a bit. And then I came back, I missed all of 2009 season. 2010, I came back. I was able to come back and play football. I ended up signing with BC. Edmonton didn't want to bring me back. And then again, same thing happens again. I break my leg almost second last game of the season for a second time as a member of the BC Lions against my former team, the Edmonton Elks. And so you talk about, again, facing that adversity, not once, but twice. Very fortunate, came back from that injury. And then as I get my starting job, this is now 2011, I break my forearm in training camp. So, you know, it's one thing after another. And again, we talk about that quote, not allowing your situation to become your excuses. You know, that I've been told, people have been telling me, you know, majority of my life that you won't obtain this, or you won't become that. And for me, it's about proving people wrong. And that's really my biggest motivator. And especially as my kids have two boys now that are 21 and 18, it's teaching them that when you face adversity or face some sort of struggle, to be able to push through it. And there's so many teaching moments when we stumble and fall, but the important thing is picking ourselves back up.
Thanks for watching. If you have a question or comment about today's episode, go to our website, runwithit.ca. Until next time, run with it.
Run With It is sponsored by Mallory's Fashion Network and the Rio Theatre.